When I was 8 years old, my dad used to have characters over to our house all the time, like salesmen, and they'd wake up, they'd have a couple pops after work, and then they'd end up sleeping on my couch. And I'd come down for school early in the morning, and there'd be some weird motherfucker sitting there on my couch. He'd be like, "Don't worry about old Ron, he's going to get up here in a few minutes, we're going to go play some tennis." And I'm like, "All right, cool." And he gets up, and old Ron's got mustard-colored sneaks on, black socks, powder blue tennis shorts, double knit polyester shirt with a big old pointed collar on there, right? And him and my dad, and my dad's all whited up, got his white outfit on. He's going to play, looks like Vetus Gerulaitis or something. And they're going to go play tennis. He's got black socks and mustard colored sneakers, yellow and black. To me, that was exactly what Baltimore was to me. A bunch of goofy, weird, odd-looking, colorblind, wild asses. And I grew up my whole life. I always wanted to be a musician since I was 8. But this one guy, Ron Norris, stuck in my head. He's from Baltimore. He was actually from Dundalk originally. Then he moved into the city. And I played in a high school band. I was like, 8 years old. Probably everybody else in here, like, we're going to rub sand blocks together. We're going to hit some brick blocks. We're going to do this and that. And like, you're going to test, like, do you have aperture to play trumpet? Can you play saxophone? Are you a drummer? Are you whatever the fuck? You know what I'm saying? They test you out. And they picked a trumpet for me. This is before you could be a guitar player. You're like, hey, man, you're going to play trumpet. Well, the only songs I could ever play to this day are Hail to the Redskins and Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. I'm not even bullshitting you. I got my trumpet that I had in elementary school through high school. But I knew I was going to be a musician. That's what I was going to do. I'm going to be a musician. And Ron kept coming to my head. He always had these goofy-ass jokes. He'd wake up off the couch, and he'd be like, Hey, Rod, come on over here, Rod. I gotta show you. I'm gonna show you this joke, man. He goes, "I bet you can't crack this. You can't crack this egg with your hand." I was like, "No problem, bro. I can do that." So I'm sitting there, and he's like, "It's a hard-boiled egg." He did this whole setup. He had hard-boiled eggs. He had one egg that was not cooked at all. So I sit there, and I was hard. I couldn't break anything. And I got to that egg, and I smashed it. I got eggs everywhere. And he's in his powder blue shorts and his freaking mustard-colored sneaks with the black stripes on the side. Black silk, probably not silk, but silk-ish socks. Today he's wearing a terry cloth shirt. He's got another joke for him. He's like this: "Hey, Rod, I got this trick for you, man. I'm going to put this glass of water on the counter. I'm going to freaking drink it. I'm going to put this bag on it, and I'm going to drink it. It's going to be gone." You all probably know this joke. He went under the table. He's like this. It's gone. I was like, "Oh, yeah?" He's like, "Yeah." And I pulled the bag off it. Of course, he goes and drinks that thing. And that's Baltimore, right? That's some goofy-ass East Baltimore shit right there. So years down the road, I'm playing guitar. I'm playing, actually, trumpet. But at this point, I'm in the high school band. I'm like third. I'm like number third chair, third, whatever the fuck. I'm the ninth best trumpet player, which is the worst. And I go and challenge the number two chair trumpet player. But I figured he had a sore throat that day. And he's sitting next to me. And he had, remember that spray they had? It was like cherry and fucked up and made your throat numb, chloris something or other. What's that? Nah, it wasn't for bad breath. It was for a bad throat. I decided before chloroseptic, thank you so much. Before my challenge, I decided to squirt him in the eyes with that. That was the end of my trumpet playing in the band. But I started a rock and roll band, the Renegades, and I was like 10th grade. And we were badass. We played like Burning For You. We'd play all the covers you could imagine back in the, I want to say 7th, like damn, old bitch. Like around 80, something like that. Anyways, we play all the cast parties and all this stuff. And I was like, "I'm going to be a rock and roller. I'm going to be a rocker." I had my Univox. I had a paper route. I paid for it. My Univox and my trainer amp. And I had it. I'm like, "I'm going to fucking play. I'm going to be a rock and roll musician." And I'm playing. And I have a band. I do all this stuff. I do everything. I practice hours and hours. I would sit there and turn up George Thorogood to fucking 11, and I was playing the wrong songs the whole time while my parents were losing their shit in the fucking room next to me, never saying a word. My mom would be like, Rod, sounded good today. I'm like, thanks, Ma. And then rolled out. So things go on. I keep playing. I go in the Marine Corps. Turns out when I'm in the Marines, I'm walking down the hall. At this point, I'm like a corporal. I'm a salty dog now. I'm walking down the hill, and I hear this guy playing like Eruption or something, some sort of Van Halen. I'm like, fuck yeah. At this point, I didn't have a roommate. I had my own pad. But I was like, I'm going to have this kid be my roommate. Tommy T.C. Express Harper from Muncie, Indiana. I'm from Indiana originally, and I was like, this motherfucker must be meant to happen. And we go in there. I move in my room. We play music all day, all night. Fucking just driving everybody insane. He was good. I still sucked real bad. End up, Tommy gets out. I get out of the Marine Corps. I come back. I immediately start auditioning for bands. Every single band. I'm living outside of D.C. I'm trying out for every band. Black Market Baby recently broke up. I would audition for them. They were nice enough to say, Rod, you're too much for our band. On which I know that means you suck. But I gave it a whirl, and I did it. And I was like, man, I kept playing, and I kept starting bands. I had a band called the Back Alley Gators where I met my first Baltimore rock and roller, who was like a Hammer Jacks motherfucker, long-ass hair. He's like, man, he'd come down to Baltimore. He'd come down to Silver Spring every day and practice with us. Every day. He's like, man, you guys got to come out to Baltimore, man. We're going to go to my boy Rudy's place, Sticky Fingers, down there in Fells Point. We're going to go over to Bertha's. We're going to get ourselves some snake bites. We're going to get all fucked up. Then we're going to get ourselves some new shoes, some leopard skin pants. We're going to have this badass time. I'm like, fucking awesome. Shortly after that, I was like, Baltimore fucking rules, man, because everybody was like my boy Ron. Everybody's goofy, right? Everybody's super goofy. And super pumped. And super got no clue what they're wearing. Everybody's like got leopard skin on. And fucking, it was awesome. It wasn't like DC. We were just like fucking black. And like fucking, we were cool as shit, man. Back up. The whole progression of music, it was always like, I was never part of it. I always wanted to be the cool guy, but I never was. I was always like kind of out here on the side. But I'd go check everything else out. I think people, when I first came into Baltimore, thought I was kind of a goofball or like greaser. And people up here were way more cool about letting you into the circles, which was one killer thing about Baltimore. It's like everybody wants to know what the fuck you're up to, almost too much. But I really loved the whole thing. So after I played some shows in here, I played like Hammer Jacks and all these weird places that I didn't, like, we were opening up. It wasn't like people were in droves to see our band, but we'd be open for like, let me bring myself back, Child's Play and weird ass, weird stuff, dude. That wasn't really my stuff, like my thing, but it was like kind of, I was developing into a musician. So as it came along, after that band broke up, the Back Alley Gigs broke up, I started this band, Glenmont Popes, and salute. The Post is killer because it was like my dream. I wanted to be like Jimmy Vaughn. I wanted to be like just a nasty motherfucker. And I wasn't that good, so I had to have my own style and kind of work my own thing out. But as it went along, I came into town. The first time the Popes played, we played at a place called Mom's over in South Baltimore. And we played there every Saturday night for about 2 months, I want to say. And the first day we were there, I met like my best friends, still to this day, some of my best friends, 40 people that I love it dearly, and I see them all the time. Well, not all the time, but when I do see them, it feels like I have not missed it, skipped a beat. So we play there, and everything's getting cooler, and I'm meeting all these people, and people are, you know, you're drinking, and you're getting involved with things in Baltimore. It's, you know, Baltimore is a little sketchy, and I kind of like that. I like the whole like vibe of like, I like grease. I like freaking grits. You know what I mean? We got grits in Baltimore. We got greasers. We got cats sitting there with mustard-colored sneaks with black stripes and silk socks, and, you know, they're fucking rocking. That's how I rock it now. You know what I mean? I like that. That's something about that. But when I say I'm on the peripheral, like I'm like a goof. I always have been. I always want to be a badass. That's why I went in the Marine Corps. I wanted to be a bad badass. I wanted everybody to be like, oh, Rodney's a badass. And I was. I mean, honestly, test me. No, I'm serious. I'm joking. But I was, like, I did stuff that I never thought I'd ever do before. Spider drop from, like, 30 feet in the air and land that shit. I mean, that's crazy. I still do that at parties once in a while. But I'd come into Baltimore, and when I finally had my own band, when I had the Popes together, my boys wouldn't go out to shows, and I would start going out. I'd go out and see everybody. I didn't know a soul. I had just freshly moved to Baltimore. Like, the only time I was ever here besides Mom's was, like, just to play a show and then get out and split. But when I was kind of became a resident of Baltimore, which I fucking love to this day. I've been here, like, 30s. I don't even know. It's a long time, but I'm a Baltimorean for sure. Walking around, meeting these badass musicians, John Theater, Mike Bowen, Tekla, everybody. No one treated me like an asshole, you know what I mean? I experienced so much killer music, diverse, wide variety. I remember rehearsing in the same spot as Dan Deacon. Dan Deacon, I walked in his rehearsal space, and I was like, who the fuck's playing this bullshit? It was like all this play school instruments and weirdness, right? And I listened to him. I was like, holy smokes, this guy's amazing. And I'm like, I was too cool to be like, fucking Dan Deacon's a bad motherfucker. Instead, I'd be like, just fuck that Dan Deacon shit. And then I was in Atlanta. And you know, there's a thing. It's like, you know, the summer song. Remember, it's getting hot in here, so take off all them clothes. So hot, I'm going to take my clothes off. Bad rendition. But in Atlanta, I'm driving down the road, and Dan Deacon had a summer hit on the Atlanta pop station, I think. I think it was called Slumber Party. I can't remember the exact name of the song. But I'm driving, I was like, this song is badass. And everybody in my band is in the van getting it. They realized, like, and I looked around, I said, you know who this is? They're like, no idea. I said, you know this is fucking Dan Deacon, right? And I was fucking stoked because I went right back to the play school instruments and the xylophone and all this weird stuff that I was totally, I was being a bitch just like everybody was to me at one point. But it opened me up. And I come to the auto bar, the first auto bar on Davis Street, and hang out, be there late night playing poker and getting busted up, running around talking mad shit all the time. Meeting so many killer musicians, Lee Ving, you know, freaking, I can't even name everybody, John Theodore. But Mike, everybody had really kick-ass bands, and they would talk to me, and they let me play pool. Or not pool, they let me play cards. And I won a lot of money one night, and that was like the first night I was hanging. I was like, don't think I was going to be welcome back again. I walked out 300 that night. It was pretty cool. But what I'm saying is, Baltimore is like the baddest-ass rock and roll city. It actually was voted the best rock and roll city a number of years back. I think Dan Deacon was voted like the best musician in the world at that point or something. My band just kind of toured, and like we were good for maybe 100 people in our best part of the country, but it was so cool. We're like, we're from Baltimore. And when you meet other cats, like, you're from Baltimore? No shit, man. I'm from Baltimore. And no, you weren't. You're from the fucking county, bro. That's what would happen. But the greatness about this town is that there's no air. It's very supportive, really cool, diverse music. Like, I play rock and roll and blues, country style stuff these days. But the amount of kick-ass music that I can't even explain, but I check it out all the time. It's amazing. The scene here, like, I'm not part of the scene, but I'm at all the shows. But the scene is tight. It's just like when I'm dealing with kids. Like, I don't remember being such a dork. But I certainly was. And I'm still a dork. Y'all be cool.